I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thursday afternoon on DGS. Dave is getting ready for DGS Live tonight. So We're going to hold down the fort, and then we'll all head over there here in a little bit. I'm looking forward to tonight. I've never been a part of a DGS Live. So
I'm excited for your first one. They're really fun.
I'm the rookie.
We get to hang out with listeners for a little bit in the VIP portion before the show. And then Dave's stand-up is really funny. And it's always fun to watch him play music, too. And then we'll get to go on stage and talk to listeners a little bit. It's pretty, pretty fun.
Nice.
It's a good night. Like, I just didn't even, no offense, I just didn't even want to do the show today. I just wanted to skip straight to the live show.
Yeah. I kind of like, though, this is kind of like a pregame show, though.
Yeah, kind of.
It's kind of getting me ready.
It also
being a
has
sports
that.
Guy, I'm ready. I'm used to, like, three-hour pregame shows. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of a thing. Playoff time, this feels like a Super Bowl-type event.
And it has the vibe of like field trip day a little bit, right?
Yeah, like
when you have to go when you're not leaving for the field trip until like 10 a.m. So you have to go to like two classes before the field trip starts.
We are going to run a best of at 4 today. Mm-hmm. If you hear Dave's voice, don't be confused because we need to get over to the venue. But
I can't believe I had to dress up today.
Yeah, I was very excited to see what you wore today.
Kevin, okay, this is just like a man to wait until the day before an event. Wheeler texted me and Andrew last night. He goes, so what should I wear tomorrow? And Andrew's like, wear anything. And I'm like, wear a collared shirt. Because when you tell Wheels wear anything, I don't know.
I was like, I was like, follow your heart, buddy. And she was like, collared shirt would be preferred.
Yeah, not only was it yesterday, it was almost 10 p.m. last night. I'm like, oh, I should probably ask about this. And so I asked the question, and then Andrew's was, yeah, don't stress too much about it. I'm wearing jeans and a nice-ish polo, which is pretty much where you are. And it was more of like a suggestion. And then Rachel says, maybe a collared shirt.
Yes. Look, I'm changing when we get to the venue. I can't wear my... I'm not wearing like fancy clothes or anything, but I can't be in my grown-up clothes all day. I'm changing whenever we get there.
So I wore a flannel shirt because it's got a collar on it. But I do have my Beavis Cornholio shirt underneath it.
What's the nicest? Like, I'm sure you have... You've been to like the Jackbuck Awards and stuff, so I know you have...
Yeah, I know
you have like a suit, I'm sure.
I have one suit.
But outside of like a suit, what's the nicest clothes that you have?
You're looking at it.
Yeah. I feel you. Mine's about this. Maybe a long sleeve that's nicer.
I have... I think I've worn them before, but I have these other button-down shirts that are just kind of like meant to be untucked, and they're kind of like, I bought them for like going to spring training and stuff because they're long sleeve, but they're really light material, and you can roll up the sleeves a little bit.
Are they untuckets?
No, they're not those because those are stupid expensive.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. just so that it's supposed to look untucked, it's like twice as much as a normal shirt. Easy.
Ugh.
If not three times.
In normal shirts,
so I'm not worried about that. No. To me, just a shirt that looks supposed to look untucked is just every shirt.
Yeah, same.
I just don't like the tuck.
Look, if I'm wearing it, it's supposed to be untucked.
I don't like the feeling of that. I don't like the whole like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I never have either. It goes back to like even high school, like, and I think it goes back to having a dress code in school. I think that's what it's entirely about. Because I had to dress up, and for a long time, grade school, we had to wear a tie every day and a dress shirt.
What was your dress code?
In grade school, it was black or blue pants, like dark blue or black pants. And I guess we could wear corduroys instead of dress pants, but you kind of have the two. And then it was either a white or that powder blue dress shirt.
Oh, interesting.
We had to wear a tie. Right, that was grade school. And then in high school, it was just anything but jeans for pants. And no jeans or sweatpants, but like khakis or anything like that's fine. And then something with a collar on it, which to me was dressed up. But you had to tuck it in.
Yeah.
If you didn't have it tucked in, it was like, oh, Mr. Wheeler, get your shirt tucked in. And then if you didn't do that, then you got your punishment.
Did you have to wear a belt, too?
I don't remember.
Little Kevin wearing a tie.
That was a big thing
sounds,
at my school.
Little Kevin wearing a tie sounds so cute.
Oh, yeah. It's probably terrible.
It's like, I hate this thing.
Oh, it's the worst every day. And you could, you know, like for a while there. Well, we did it, like once we got to like sixth grade, our rebellion, the boys' rebellion was we're going to get leather ties. So we each had like a collection of like five or six leather ties, all different colors. There's a red and a blue and a black. So
that's cool. You guys were like a gang.
Oh, we were the leather tie gang. We were so cool. It's St. Damien's grade school. You know, we were the best. All right, so normally we do sports here. And there's not a lot new, but I found a sports-ish story that we can have some fun with because I think the audio kind of sells it, and we can do, I was going to save it for the audio segment later, but we have other stuff for that. So let's play this and set it up. But the simple version of this is at a Division I Atlantic 10 Conference college basketball game last night, a guy tried to deliver McDonald's to one of the referees in the middle of the game.
Loyola would take over 10 minutes before we get a stoppage. And we've got an official's timeout. And somebody came on the floor on the far side. Looking for an Uber Eats delivery or something there. He's carrying some McDonald's.
Oh, this has to be one of the all-time greats.
I'm actually not kidding.
No, this
is
the truth.
I think that's what's happening.
This guy's in the corner. Looked like was he going to deliver the McDonald's to somebody on the court? Can we rule that out?
I think that's an Uber Eats sticker. Is that what that is? I'm trying to get confirmation. Uber Eats, yes.
Maybe I'll put my hand up. I'm getting a little hungry. You can bring it over here.
So we saw the stoppage. The man was ushered. Let's see if we can see this. No, this is going to be the turnover in the
corner.
There
he is, there in the corner. Yeah, yay, yay.
So this guy is actually, who's he delivering it to?
The ref. The ref said later. Give it to me later. Not now.
Philip Alston's done a lot. I didn't think he needed a Big Mac for sustenance in the middle of the game.
I know, but I'm not. Well, the official out there, Tim, he distanced him like, I didn't say now. Later. That's got to be unbelievable. That's got to be something that the highlight shows are going to have a blast with.
Yeah, I tell you, that was pretty damn funny. Because at first I thought they were kidding.
Yeah.
Because at first on the video, you can't see that corner of the court.
Mm-hmm.
But then near the end, they actually show this dude just walking out there. He's got a McDonald's bag, and he's like trying to hand it to the referee in the middle of the play, not during a timeout. They're playing basketball, and he's walking out on the court. And this was, again, this wasn't like a high school game. It wasn't D3. This was Duquesne and Loyola of Chicago. So they're in the A-10. That's SLU's conference. And the thing that stuck out to me are two things. One, that's awesome. Somebody must have played a joke on the official, which is hilarious. Secondly, if that had been the Big Ten or the SEC, that guy would have gotten smoked. There's no way you're walking anywhere near the court at one of those bigger venues without getting tackled by security. And he just like walked out there, and then some guy just kind of like, no, you got to be. That's the weirdest thing. I mean, I don't know if it's the weirdest thing, but it's pretty strange.
At one point, he was like a foot away from one of the players.
Yes, during the play.
Yeah, like during the play.
Yeah, not
like
just
he
during
was
a
on
timeout.
The court, and he was just like really close to this guy who was like backing up to post up for a three.
I love that the play-by-play guys never broke character. They're like, is that Uber Eats? We're getting confirmation. Yes.
Now, I want you guys to like tell me if my dilemma is legit or not. Because I hate people going on or near the playing surface at sporting events. Because I don't trust them. Like, that guy looked like he was just trying to be silly. I mean, he apparently got an order. He probably had another delivery to make. He's like, I got to get out of here. Let's do this. But I don't like that idea because I don't trust what those people are going to do. Like, what would stop somebody that wanted to do something terrible from just holding a McDonald's bag and wanting to walk out there? And I know it's like, it is funny because it was that and it's all it was. But that's why I'm saying, like, I'm surprised that you can do that at that level of college basketball and not be tackled by people, not have like six security people come running. And that's just strange to me that it's that easy to do.
Is there any way, because I heard Chris and Amy talking about this earlier, and they were saying, like, oh, this is such great publicity for Uber Eats. Is there any way that Uber Eats collaborated with the stadium or whatever and said, like, hey, we're going to pull this stunt and we'll pay you if you let us get this guy out on the court?
It's possible, but I doubt that anybody would agree to it to do it while the game's being played. Like, if it was, like, during halftime, or like it's already a TV timeout, then it would be, it would, yes, that would make sense. And then, but the possibility here is that that was what the plan was, and that the guy doing it was just stupid and wasn't really thinking about it, wasn't paying attention. Like, oh, now, okay, and I go in and now. So, I mean, it's possible. And actually, that would be pretty brilliant if you were going to do it during a break and then like hand it to the ref, and then the ref can just like put it on the scorer's table or something like that. Like, that'd be cool. That'd be a good. That'd be a great idea because it went viral. I mean, this is everybody's playing. I saw it last night on Twitter. Everybody's joking about it. But if so, if that's the case, then this guy's not very bright because you can't walk out there during the play. Can't walk out there during the play. Have you guys ever seen anything weird like that?
I love all the videos of when like a cat makes it down onto the field.
So you like
make
like,
me extremely happy.
Like the rally squirrel for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The squirrel runs right through the batter's box and home plate, and you're like, what? And then what was it? Was it the rally cat? That was there was the rally cat here that also happened in another place too. Because who was it? One of the lawyers in town represented the cat.
Oh my gosh.
Remember. It might have been Beavis Shock.
Yeah.
Represented the cat in trying to get, they didn't have to worry about the cat because the Cardinals, especially with Tony La Russa there at the time, Mr. Animal Rescue, they're going to make sure that they do things correctly. But that's weird. Are you guys old enough to remember Morgana, the kissing bandit?
No.
You've never seen this?
I don't think so.
I've heard of her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys have to go online during a break, whatever. Just
I have
search.
To clean up the yogurt on the break.
No, you're good. I did it already. Morgana the Kissing Bandit. So this is a thing that is like the 70s and 80s. We try to just,
oh, yes. Now I remember
seen
her.
Yeah.
Now, as soon as I saw her picture, I'm like, oh, yes, I've seen her before.
So blonde lady, she would run on this field at sporting events and then grab a person and give them a big kiss. And then sometimes the reactions from the athletes were pretty funny. Like they would play along and laugh and all of that. There's one of the famous ones with George Brett, and George Brett gives this look like, oh my God, like he's so happy that he got a kiss from Morgana. How would you describe Morgana?
Dolly Parton-esque.
I was trying to think of a radio friendly way of saying it. That's a great description because at the time she could have posed as a body double for Dolly Parton if they did their hair the same way. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Similar physiques.
Yeah. And she did this all over the place and apparently never got arrested or anything.
It's funny. Jesus. Kevin just described her as a blonde lady. And I'm looking at her picture. I'm like, that is a really nice way.
I was working out
in
my head.
That's a Christian way of saying it.
She's got a great pair of eyes.
I was working out my way of saying it without potentially insulting anybody because it wasn't meant to be an insult. It just... they're big. All right, DGS on a Thursday. Dave out today, but he's got DGS live tonight, so he's off prepping for that. We'll be joining him here in just a little bit. So Andrew, Rachel, and Wheeler hanging out with you on a Thursday. So this is our social media segment, so a lot of things we can do with that. But since we're doing a lot of the Led Zeppelin music today, I saw last night on the TikTok a story related to Led Zeppelin and their formation and how they all put it together. I don't know, you guys may or may not know all of the band members, but that's not really relevant to the point. But the bassist, John Paul Jones, was apparently just a studio musician, very highly regarded. People really thought he was good at his job, not in a band, but his wife told him she heard there was a band looking for a bassist and said, you should try it. You should apply. Turned out to be Led Zeppelin.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then now he's internationally known rock star, all because she's like, honey, you should probably check that out. It might be cool. Because he was doing really well, like really successful. The studio musicians can make a lot of money and be very well regarded, but I guess it's a little different when you're actually in one of the greatest bands in the history of rock and roll. So that's part of it. Did you guys see, I'm asking you as if I didn't already share it with you, the Eric Swalwell, Ted Cruz own fest yesterday?
Yes.
Actually, it wasn't yesterday, but it was, I saw it yesterday. It was like a couple of days ago. So it was in advance of the playoffs this past weekend. And Eric Swalwell tags Ted Cruz on a tweet and says, hey, we should have a bet for the Cowboys and the 49ers. Swalwell is in California. He's a 49ers fan. Ted Cruz is Texas, so obviously the Cowboys. And said, we should have a bet on this. If the 49ers win, you can't tweet for the rest of January. And then if the Cowboys win, I can't tweet for the rest of January. And he sent this to Ted Cruz. And then Ted Cruz's response was, how about we bet a Chinese dinner instead?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Which, You know, Casey, if you know the Eric Swalwell story, part of his, how would we say this? Was it an accusation or was this actually proven?
I thought it was proven that he was involved with a
Chinese spy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a woman that worked with the Chinese government in some way, but accused spy. I don't know how it was all adjudicated later, but pretty good burn. Pretty apt. Pretty stinging. And then Ted Cruz's response was after the game. I'm sorry. Eric Swalwell's follow-up to that was after the game, and of course the Niners beat the Cowboys, and he tweeted back at Ted Cruz, "I haven't seen a Texas defense collapse like that since the state's junior senator was asked to defend his wife against Donald Trump. Go Niners."
Oof. Brutal.
And like, if that was my buddies and those, I'd be like, oh, good burn, good job. I don't like that. Like, important people are doing this on Twitter. Do you guys, does that bother you?
It definitely bothers me. And either of them, if they would have stopped tweeting for the month of January, I would have been a little relieved because they're both extremely active. It's like,
do
your job and stop being on social media all the time. Like, the whole owning each other culture should not extend to senators. It's just a little embarrassing and a little ridiculous.
Yeah. And Cruz is among the worst when it comes to, like, you know, trying very hard to, you know, own people on Twitter or whatever. That's like a very, very important thing to him. And you just can't help but think, like, I wish this, like Rachel was saying, I just wish this was a little less important to you.
So, see, it's weird to me that he likes to try to play the burn game when he's so burnable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a million things that people can burn him on. His wife thing with Donald Trump, his dad. You know, Donald Trump says his dad was involved in the JFK assassination.
Leaving during the blizzard.
Yeah, you get the whole bailing out on the state of Texas and heading to Mexico when the weather turns bad. Like, there's a lot to be burned on. Why would you not understand that? But more importantly, I really do wish that more important people would act like important people. I've had some people be like, they're normal people just like us. No, they're not.
Yeah, they put themselves in this position where they should be held to a higher standard. So let's hold them to a higher standard.
It was one of my complaints about Donald Trump. It's not always okay to just be tweeting crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay to be just name calling like you're a fourth grader out on recess. Like, be a grown up. You've chosen to pursue. And if you want to be this stuff in your own day to day life with your friends and the people that you're around, all right, be normal, be a human, be funny, be whatever when you're in that setting. But publicly, at least pretend. Just at least pretend that you're a serious person.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I like a personality, and that would be a different thing. Like, so if, I don't know, what would be a good example of showing personality without being this?
Well, maybe if
Bill
they
Clinton
could have
playing the saxophone, right?
Okay.
Arsenio.
Sure.
Or if they could have just kept the original tweet to like that agreement, like, oh, okay, it's all in good fun, but instead they have to escalate it and
turn
be
to
super
an own
mean
fest.
To each. Yeah, like the original tweet doesn't bother me. That's like normal dudes just being like, hey, I have to give something up. You have to give something up.
Right. Like, I don't mind the whole, like, mayors making bets on the World Series. Like,
right.
I don't mind any of that. I don't mind presidents showing that they have a life outside of being the president. That's all fine. Just at some point, don't be petty and stupid and weird.
Right.
You know, try to lead a little bit.
I think you're asking a little too much at this point, Wheels.
I think so, too. What do you have next?
I have some things from back in the day that just thought they were a little interesting. 239 years ago today, in 1784, Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to his daughter supporting the turkey as America's national symbol. He complained that the eagle was a bird of bad moral character and the turkey was more respectable. So Thanksgiving would be looking a lot different.
Could you imagine if the national
the
bird
turkey.
Was the turkey? And like everywhere you see an eagle now, it was a turkey.
All the money has a turkey on it.
Would we even do Thanksgiving the way that we do now if that was the case?
I know. Everyone would have ham, I would assume.
Yeah,
I mean,
you would have to think no, because the eagle is the bald eagle is a protected thing because of that.
Like, but it's also endangered.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, but the national turkey. Go, Ben.
The eagle has a bad moral character, whatever that means.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm back in on DGS here on a Thursday. Dave out today. Of course, DGS Live coming up tonight. We are sold out. It's going to be a great night tonight. And we're holding down the fort here while Dave preps for the show tonight. And then we'll all be heading over there in a little bit. Rachel, Andrew, and Wheeler with you here. So that'll be a little bit later on this evening, and we'll tell you more about that in just a bit. Now, coming up tomorrow night at the Centene Community Ice Arena over in Maryland Heights, we've got a really cool event that the Blues alumni are a part of. It's called the Warrior All-Star Hockey Game. It's going to be 6:45 to 7:45. It's $10 for you to get in. And what this is the St. Louis Warrior Hockey Group, a group of players, and we'll explain what that means to you in just a second, going up against the Blues alumni for some fun, and some of the names you'll recognize, like Scott Mellenby and Jamie Rivers, Barrett Jackman, Andy McDonald, and more, are going to be a part of the Blues alumni team. And this is a really cool event that's going to raise money for a great cause, and we're going to explain that to you with Air Force veteran Staff Sergeant Drew Boyd. Drew has been the director of the Gateway Warrior Classic Tournament. He's been with the Blues Warrior Hockey Organization for the last several year since 2020. Staff Sergeant Boyd, it's nice to have you with us. Thanks so much. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, I'll let you set the table here. What should people know in advance of tomorrow night if they want to come out? And talk a bit about, too, what we're using this to raise money for. Who are we trying to help out? I think we can probably figure that out, but you know the details better than we do.
All right. So, like you said, tomorrow night from 6:45 to 7:45 is the All-Star game with the St. Louis Blues alumni and Warrior players from across the country. It's part of the Gateway Warrior Classic, which is a three-day event. Kicks off tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. But what this is a game for Warriors from across the country to have the experience to play with NHL players, former NHL players, something that a lot of guys dream of doing their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And the money goes to the St. Louis Blues alumni and the St. Louis Blues Warriors hockey team to keep us going for another year.
That's awesome. And I should point out that the Warrior hockey teams are all made up of disabled veterans, people that have served our country in the various branches of the armed services, which makes this even cooler.
Correct.
So what I mean, is there something that people should know about Warrior hockey? I mean, I've followed it loosely over the years, Drew. It's, you know, I've been aware of it, but not of the details. Just give me a description of, you mentioned this kind of helps keep you guys going for another year. Talk about the program.
So, like you say, the program was started in 2019 by Nathan Laup, Steve Hania, Brad Collins, and a couple other guys. And there are teams across the country. Almost every state has a Warrior hockey team. And what it is it is a team comprised of solely disabled veterans, 10% or more. Doesn't matter what the disability is, as long as the rating is 10%. But the focus on Warrior hockey is to help support and heal disabled veterans through the sport of hockey. The Gateway Warrior Classic is just one of the few tournaments throughout the year that these players get to go to. It's one of the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's a three-day event. We will have 25 teams from Vegas to North Carolina,
wow,
Colorado, Dallas, all branches of services. You might even see individuals with missing legs, limbs, something like that. It's just a way to really support our brothers and sisters and give them that camaraderie, which all veterans miss when they get out of the military. It's just a way to promote that again.
That's great. Is there a way that, you know, people listening, fans may want to come out just throughout the course of the weekend, or is it only for the big one against the alumni tonight, or I mean tomorrow night?
Oh, no, it's open to the public, free of charge.
Nice.
The only game they have to pay for is the Friday night game. The rest of the weekend is free. It starts at 8 a.m. and goes up until 10 o'clock at night, I believe, on some nights. Sunday should be done about 2:30-ish. That's where all the championship games are going to be on Sunday.
Well, that's cool. And everything's at Centene?
Everything's at Centene. All four rinks will be going at one time.
Man, that's going to be awesome. So give me an idea. I mean, I think we can all identify to a degree with needing the sense of community, right? The sense of camaraderie, whether you go back to your high school and college years playing team sports or actually just hanging out with people that you know, right? Friends that have similar experiences to you. Talk a bit about the importance of that when you're out, because that's what you do when you're in the armed services. I mean, you're with those people, you're with your brothers and sisters all the time, and it's a constant source of support and everything else. And then when you get out, obviously it changes, right?
Right. So I'll leave you with a story that happened 2 years ago. It was at the Warrior Classic in Philadelphia. We had a brand new coach at the time, Mike McKenna, St. Louis native, NHL All-Star goalie. This is his first experience with Warrior hockey, and I'm on the Delta team, which is more of the developmental team, which is guys that have never played hockey before, but we wanted to give it a shot.
Cool.
So we go to Philadelphia, and the Delta team goes and plays against the Philadelphia team, and we got crushed. I'm not even going to lie. It's 23-3. But after the game, we all got in the locker room. Everybody held their head up high. We were all laughing, having a great time. And then all of a sudden, one of the guys on the team just looks up and he goes, "I got to tell you guys something. This program has saved my life." And it has stuck with everybody. I mean, if you talk to Mike McKenna in every interview that he's done on this program, that is the one story that he brings up. And that's what this program is about. It's about supporting other veterans who really need it. And that's what we're here for.
That is fantastic. And I mean, it's great that, I mean, if people know the Blues alumni, and I think hockey alumni in general, they're super active in these types of things. And every time I've seen them interact on this level, it's just, you can tell how much they love doing it.
Oh yeah. We have the greatest support with those guys. And even the St. Louis Blues. I mean, we have Rob Ramage as our head coach.
Wow.
We have Shear, we have Schofield, McKenna, Lavecchio. We have an all-star lineup of coaches, and it's all alumni players who are donating their time and really just, you know, teaching us, but at the same time, we're teaching them.
That's great. So I want to remind everybody again, that's tomorrow night, 6:45 to 7:45. The doors are going to open at 6:30 at the Centene Community Ice Arena in Maryland Heights. It's $10 for adults. Kids 12 and under are $5. This will be the Warrior Hockey All-Stars, essentially, is the way I'm reading this. Is that correct?
Correct.
And they'll be going up against the Blues alumni. And you mentioned Mike McKenna is going to be a part of that. Andy McDonald, Barrett Jackman, Jamie Rivers, Scott Mellenby, a whole bunch of others, too. I know I don't have time to list them all, but there are a lot of guys that are going to be participating in this. And do I have this correct? The best way for people to find out about the rest of the weekend and also a bit more about, you know, who you guys are and how it all works, would it be to go to STLBluesWarriorHockey.com? Is that the right way to go?
Correct.
Beautiful. Well, it sounds like you guys are going to have a heck of a weekend.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
Well, do everybody a favor. Say thank you to everybody. And by the way, thank you for your service as well, Drew. We appreciate you doing this. And hopefully you guys have a great, exciting weekend. I know you'll have fun with the Blues alumni. That'll be great.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank everybody for listening.
All right. We appreciate you, man. Hopefully we'll see you out at Centene here in the not-too-distant future. That's Staff Sergeant Drew Boyd, Air Force retired. He's been the director of the Gateway Warrior Classic Tournament. Now that's what he's doing now, but he's been with the Blues Warrior Hockey Organization since 2020. So go to STLBluesWarriorHockey.com if you want more information about the Gateway Warrior Classic. And as Drew mentioned, everything outside of the alumni game is free to attend. You can come by, show your support, have a good time, bring your kids, and learn a lot about what this means to the wounded warriors that have come back to participate in this. And again, tomorrow night at 6:45 at Centene, with the doors opening at 6:30, you can see the Warrior team going up against the Blues alumni, which will be a hell of a lot of fun for hockey fans. And really, let's just be honest, everybody else that wants to take part in a cool event that benefits veterans.
Well,
I think we should do a little bit more flashing back.
Yeah, let's
do it. I've got a story that just got sent to me that we'll save for the very end of this, or maybe, I don't know, if not, we'll save it for after the top of the hour, but it's pretty amazing. But I want to make sure I have the details locked down before we get into the story, because I wasn't sure it was true. Turns out it's true, but I want to make sure I understand the motivation behind it before we get to it. So let's go into history first.
Do some Throwback Thursdays here. So
what happened to Throwback Thursday, by the way? Nobody seems to do it anymore.
I know. Yeah. I think it's just a trend that went away. Or everyone ran out of old pictures of themselves to post.
That's what it is.
Here's my Throwback Thursday. Remember when we did Throwback Thursday?
105 years ago in 1918, President Herbert Hoover, who was the head of the Food Administration during Woodrow Wilson's presidency, man, the alliteration with these presidents, called for Meatless Tuesday and Wheatless Wednesday to help the war effort overseas. Can you even imagine that happening now if the president said, like, hey, we need you to not eat wheat on Wednesdays? Everyone would be like, shut up, you've gone woke, don't tell me what to do.
Red has gone woke.
And you know what people's response would be? On those days, I'm eating more meat today than
I
normally
double
would.
Double the wheat that I would normally
Tucker Carlson would be posting a picture of himself eating like 17 burgers at once.
Normally, I have one piece of toast for breakfast. I'm going to have five today.
46 years ago in 1977, Fleetwood Mac's original lead guitarist Peter Green was arrested and later committed to a mental hospital after he pulled a shotgun on his accountant for sending him too many royalty checks.
What?
Kind of a sad story.
He sent him too much money?
Sent him too much money, and I guess he was suffering from paranoid delusions and pulled a shotgun on him.
That's not good.
44 years ago in 1979, The Dukes of Hazzard premiered on CBS. 44 years ago.
You guys remember The Dukes of Hazzard?
Never seen an episode.
I remember it from the Sean William Scott movie.
Yeah, the really bad
one. Like,
with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, from like 2001 or whatever.
I don't think I saw that movie. You guys do know the General Lee, though, right? If somebody says the General Lee, you know the car that's jumping over the gap. Mm-hmm. And first of all, why are there all those gaps in Hazzard County? Why are they always jumping?
For jumping.
All the bridges are out.
Jumping? And it's like that. Obviously, you guys know this. I'm assuming you at least get the reference. Like, that's where the term Daisy Dukes came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because Daisy Duke wore short shorts. Because short shorts were a thing in the, 70s and 80s.
I don't know why I just thought of this. I guess it's because we're just talking about old shows like this. But do you remember the show Petticoat Junction?
Sadly, I do.
Where they would take baths in the water tower.
I guess they did in the intro, right? Because like, there's a part of the intro where they're coming up and they're like taking off their underwear and putting it over the edge or their dresses or their...
That's the drinking water. Don't do that.
I guess they were probably petticoats.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's probably what that
was. I watched all those old shows. I watched Green Acres. I always say that I watched Family Affair because we had TV Land for a little bit. And my parents just wanted to watch all that old stuff. So
I always
hated it. Boop, boop.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Beverly Hillbillies.
I was like, man, just give me Scooby-Doo.
Kevin's like, this is old, therefore I don't like it.
No, when I was a kid, even then, a lot of those, though, when they're black and white, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
The only black and white show I think I watched was a kid when I didn't mind it was like Abbott and Costello. I just like them.
Mr. Ed.
It's because they did the baseball bit.
Yeah,
who's on first?
Yeah,
I'm like, these guys are awesome. I'm gonna do it. The
baseball
best one
rules,
ever though
go.
Is when they meet like Frankenstein and the werewolf. That was pretty cool. Or Dracula and the werewolf, or maybe all of them.
They met all of them.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
35 years ago in 1988, doesn't that just sound crazy? 35 years ago, it was 1988.
Yes.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera opened on Broadway. It's now the longest running show in Broadway history. You guys ever gone to see that or seen the movie or anything? I saw the movie and I cried so hard at the end. I couldn't believe how emotionally affected I was by the Phantom of the Opera.
I also watched the Disney Channel original movie, Phantom of the Multiplex, if you recall that.
I don't.
It's a much finer work of art.
I will say one of my favorite hair metal band's lead singers was the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
Sebastian Bach from Skid Row.
Nice.
Sco Metal.
Did you go see it?
No. It takes a lot more than that. Now, if they made it like a heavy metal version, yeah, I'd be there.
Have you ever gone to see like a musical or anything like that, Kev?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
Have you? Better question. Have you enjoyed?
No.
Going to see one?
No. I'm trying to remember. I had to have seen one. Like when I was a little kid, I saw a stage production of Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm. Like, does your wife really not like musicals?
Oh no, she loves them.
I was gonna say she seems like somebody who would really like them. She doesn't even ask.
Here's our deal: I don't have to go to those, and she doesn't have to come see Metallica.
That is, you know what? That is a fair bargain.
That works out.
It's a good one.
That works out.
25 years ago in 1998, President Clinton uttered the now infamous words, "I want to say one thing to the American people: I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." 25 years ago.
That was 25 years. The thing that stood out to me the most about that was the whole, that depends on what the definition of the word is. I'm mm-hmm. like, wait, what? I felt like I was being punked. I'm like, I was 25 years old, 26 years old. I didn't really care about politics. And I'm like, that's really his argument? That's really, like, that works?
I think it worked for him for a while there.
That doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense.
18 years ago, in 2005, Condoleezza Rice was sworn in as the U.S. Secretary of State, becoming the first African-American woman to ever hold that position.
It's cool.
Wow.
And this is a sad one. 3 years ago, in 2020, Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and 7 other people.
What a terrible story. I was actually live on Mad Dog Radio when that happened. Mm. I was filling in on a week. I think it was on a weekend, but right as we were coming on the air, the news broke.
And, that's crazy.
You know, obviously the Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM is an all sports station, so immediately I was like, oh my God, this can't be true, because you're seeing like on Twitter, and I got a couple of texts like, dude, Kobe just died. I'm like, no way that. And then you start looking into it, and it turned into the entire show. Like, all anybody wanted to do was tell stories about Kobe and how much he meant to them. And, like, grown men calling into sports radio crying, super upset. And I mean, honestly, I always was he had an interesting career in terms of, like, a career arc. You know, he was the young star. His dad played in the NBA, but also spent some time playing overseas. And Kobe was a guy that went straight from high school to the NBA and took a little while to become a star. And then when he became a star, there were all these questions about, he had feuds with Shaquille O'Neal and wasn't always viewed as a great teammate. He had, you guys are, I'm sure, aware of the sexual assault and rape allegations from Colorado. Yeah. So he had all of those things that happened as a part of his career. And then apparently, like, at some point, just kind of turned into a more mature person and became more of a dad and more experienced. I'm not trying to, you know, like, wash away the whole Colorado thing at all, but it was an amazing career arc. But by the end of his career, and by the time, obviously, that he passed away in that helicopter accident, the image of him had changed a great deal. And it was not at all about any of the negative. It was all about this guy's impact and what a good dad he was. It's a fascinating kind of.
But that was the issue that I took with a lot of the coverage around his death, was the washing away of some of the not so great things he did. Like, I fully respect that he was a better person by that point in his life, but I think it is I think it's irresponsible to be like, and rest in peace to the greatest man who has ever walked the earth.
Yeah, I think part of the problem,
which I think you saw a lot of.
Part of the problem, for sure. But part of the problem with the incident, I hate saying it that way because it makes it seem like it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But with what happened in Colorado is, and there were no charges. He never got convicted of anything. So that's why people moved on from it. I think it would have been different had that happened. And it doesn't mean I don't believe it. I tend to believe the accusations there, because they were very specific and they were very detailed. It wasn't like just a made up kind of thing. But that's why the whole thing was fascinating, because for me, it was in that 4-hour show, you had all of that going on at the same time, right? A great athlete who people want to remember the career. You had the off the court stuff that really got pushed out. In that time period, nobody was going to talk about that. That was not going to be a part of the conversation. And then you had the kind of the up and down arc of his career. And I can't believe that was 3 years ago. It feels like it was a lot. Like, it feels like it was a year ago the way that happened.
I have one more story for you before we go to break. It's not a throwback, but it's just since we were talking about this the other day, the 11-year-old who was nominated for a Razzie.
Yeah.
Well, the Razzies have since apologized for nominating the now 12-year-old. Her name is Ryan Kira Armstrong. And they said that we never intended to bury anyone's career. This is after all the, you know, pushback they received. She said, and then they said, going forward, actors and filmmakers under the age of 18 will not be eligible to be nominated for a Razzie anymore.
It's a good point. That's well done. I'm glad they made the adjustment. Because, again, it's one thing to critique and criticize, but by the nature of that, it's
like,
kind of making fun of.
To be like, you're the absolute worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty harsh for a, what, 11-year-old?
Yeah, 11, 12-year-old.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.